Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Not only is it Monday, but it's the first day of May here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I'm not sure about the various content anymore. I guess I'll have to work on something since the bull season is over. But on the plus side, Dan, I got through all 80 plus games in the playoffs. How about that?
And what did you think?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll ask you afterwards.
Yeah, we can get to that. I'm almost done here anyways. But, of course, you know the deal. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, follow the link over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page and give that a like. Of course, jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
And then, I don't know if I said it or not, but if you want to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Real simple. Everything Sports Time Radio related. So yeah, I was pretty happy with myself, Dan. I marched through the 8,900,000 game season, and you know, even when the Bulls made the playoffs, I still made it through those six games. So yeah, very excited for myself.
Yeah, but it's only twice a week, right? They need all those rest.
It depended at times. You know, I mean, they had a couple. Like the Bulls, I don't know if they were the only team who had this, but they had stretches where they would, like, play three games in 4 days. You know, they had a couple of those. And then, you know, there's always the back-to-backs worked in. And, you know, it was just it's a very odd scheduling. And I know the computer spits it out along with what, you know, the television networks want. So, yeah, but it's a little strange.
Well, no, and don't forget the UC. NBA doesn't take precedent. I don't know
yeah.
what it does now.
You know, yeah. Yeah, you know, they of course have their, well, I believe this was the last year for it, right? The road trip?
I think so.
So we'll have to see. Maybe they'll have a better home though. But I'm not going to call it fun. I'm not even sure if I'm going to call it interesting, but I'm just going to go with I made it through, and I'm going to take it as a win, and I don't think I'm going to do it next year. I need to find something else if I'm going to do that. So.
Go eat the Blackhawks.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that one, but I don't know enough about, you know, the technical terms of hockey. Maybe I can learn them before the season starts. We'll have to see. But, you know, I'm one of the people who's glad. You know, glad the season was over. Yeah, you know, I know the certain ones, you know. But, yeah, I'm glad the Bulls are done and we can move on, and maybe you and Stu can collaborate to do it next year or, you know, right after Mr. Fantasy writes the running quarterback blog.
No, I mean, I guess covering the Bulls for the season, what did you learn about them? Or did you learn, like, you know, what Fred's system is?
Yeah, you know, the only thing you, yeah, you know, the only thing you really learned, or the only thing I really learned, is they're just incredibly disorganized. You know, they made the trade, you know, they shipped Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott off to Oklahoma City, and I thought, okay, they're going to start selling pieces. You know, let's start moving some stuff. It's supposed to be a deep draft. Even if they went out and acquired some second-round draft picks, you know, I would have been okay with that because this draft is supposed to be that deep. And then they didn't do anything else. Now, maybe nobody else was interested in their pieces, or they just weren't ready to sell on Jimmy Butler. You know, maybe that's something that'll happen in the off season. But yeah, the disorganization and then the oddity with how much better the team was in the playoffs with Rondo running it than it was the rest of the season. I mean, they looked like a freaking contender with him at the point the first two games of that series. And then the minute he got hurt, I think we all knew it was over. After game three without him, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, this team is done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't give up complete hope, you know, after game three. But when I saw that performance in game four, that's when I was like, this is done. Well, they should just wave the white flag and let the Celtics advance to the next round.
It was just such a weird team all year, you know, and they talked about getting Fred's guys and, you know, fitting to Fred's system, and I still don't think they've done that. You know, when they sucked during the regular season, there was a huge call for him to be fired. Somehow they managed, you know, to get into the playoffs. You know, I'd say they didn't totally stink in the playoffs. They had a decent showing. I know a lot of people didn't pick them to win a game. You know, and they managed to win two. So, you know, it was just, I don't know. I mean, there were nights Bobby Portis looked like an NBA player. And then there were nights he looked like a guy who couldn't start in the D League. You know, and I mean, sadly, you know, they've got a lot of guys like that. Nikola Mirotic was like that. Paul Zipser was like that. You know, even Denzel Valentine, who was the number one pick, you know, last year, you know, he went out and had a couple 20-point games. He looked like he was going to be, you know, a good find at four. I think they got him at 14. And then, you know, the next night he'd go out and he'd go 0-for-8 and score 2 points. You know, and it's just like, you know, and like you mentioned, the guys they got back from Oklahoma City, I mean, we've talked over it time and time again. Cameron Payne doesn't belong in the NBA. And they got Joffrey Lavernigan or something like that, I think his name is. And, you know, he's probably a bench big man. So, you know, they didn't get much back in return player-wise. You look at some of the guys. I mean, Rondo goes down and you're starting Jerry and Grant and Isaiah Kanaan as his replacements. That's, you need to build better depth. Again, it's that situation, you know, it's the NBA where you need guys who can knock down threes. And they don't really have a consistent guy. You know, Mirotic is erratic. You never know what you're going to get out of Portis. You know, Zipser was the same way. I thought Doug McDermott would be the guy, but, you know, he never really fit in here and they shipped him off. So, you know, they've got a lot of, you know, I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Wade stays, they're probably a playoff team next year. And it'll be the same scenario. They'll get in as the 7 or the 8, and they'll go out in the first round. So,
against Cleveland.
Yeah, against Cleveland or Boston, or maybe, you know, improving Washington or Toronto team. Or, you know, Milwaukee, if Milwaukee adds the right parts, you know, maybe Jabari Parker stays healthy for the entire season. You know, and we get to see what Milwaukee can do with a full team. So, but yeah, it was, an odd year. I mean, you know, again, it's kind of a normal Bulls year. You know, they're not bad enough to get into the lottery and they're not good enough to win a title.
But they all got that playoff experience because that.
Yeah. So you're stuck in the middle again, you know, with a middling draft pick. And, you know, even though the draft is supposed to be very good, you know, where do we have the history that we kind of say that this Bulls team knows what they're doing in the draft? So.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to.
Speaking of not knowing what to do in the draft, I did listen to press conference of Fox and Pace over the weekend. I believe that would have been like Saturday. I don't know. I don't remember. It was on the radio. I was listening in the car. And, you know, they, of course, they're going to sell you on how they like it and everything like that. But I believe if you check our Twitter at Sportsman Radio or Facebook, there's an article posted by CBS where they graded them with an F. So, I mean,
yeah,
they haven't proven that they've known. So is it any different?
No, you know, I think this kind of falls right in line with every other clueless draft class this team has had. You know, I mean, when you start looking back on the Ryan Pace history, the only decent draft pick they've made was Jordan Howard, and they kind of fell into that one and didn't even know what they had. You know, because if you remember, he didn't start right away for this team. He only got on the field because of injury.
Yeah.
So I don't think they had any clue, you know, what they were doing with him when they got him. You know, it was just one of those situations. And who knows, you know, maybe one of these guys works out and they can, you know, they can get a steal here. I heard somebody mention they thought the cornerback they got in the fourth round was a really good choice, and you know, maybe he's got a chance to start, but you know, I'm not doing cartwheels over a fourth rounder. And you know, I mean, okay, you drafted a tight end, great, you needed one, you don't have anybody to throw him the football, but hey, you know, at least you got a tight end now. But well, you know, maybe you could, maybe you could explain this one to me though, Dan. Why did the Bears invite Mike Glennon to their draft? You know, they had a draft party. They invite Mike Glennon, and then they draft a quarterback.
Maybe to kind of go, hey, you know, you're here for the next 4 years. Like, this is the guy you're going to replace you. You need to train him.
Yeah, is that the, you know, is that the thing? They just decided, you know, you're gonna. Here, by the way, here's your replacement, Mike. We're picking the guy who's gonna take your spot, but we still want you to come and hang out with the fans and, you know, get to know the fans. And yeah, okay, great. Hey, thanks, guys. You know, that's wonderful that I'm gonna be hanging out here with all you people. And,
I don't know if you caught the article where Turbulinski, Mitch, or whatever, however you say his name, showed up to the Bulls game, man. He got booed.
Yeah. I didn't see the article. I heard them discussing it on one of the local talk shows. So I was kind of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, he better get – well, you know, actually it won't bother him because – you know, once the season starts, he'll be being the backup quarterback. He'll be the most popular guy in Chicago. So.
Yeah. After week four.
Yeah, you know how that works out when they're 0-4. You know. So.
Now, I believe his last name was Evan, 23-year-old QB. I guess he had a monster year wherever he played last year, who went undrafted, and. I guess to make a statement on Twitter, he posted, you know, his header, you know, the big picture cover photograph with all the quarterbacks that were drafted. And then his post was, I will never, you know, never in all caps, forget this. And, you know, I love the media because they're putting it as like he threw out a threat. Well, what is, what are you threatening? Because if an NFL team calls your way, you're telling me the kid's not going to sign?
Yeah. that sounds like general media stupidity, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, but I mean, I didn't know much about this kid.
No, not, you know, not, I mean, going just off the last name, no, I don't know – you know, know too much about him. I mean, what'd you say? It's Evans?
You just keep rambling on for like a minute. I'll pull it up. Yeah, Jared Evans.
Gerard Evans. Yeah, Virginia Tech. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, obviously we don't, you know, you and I aren't huge college football fans, so I don't know much about the guy, but, you know, you got to, you know, the weird part is, you know, this is kind of a la, you know, obviously Tom Brady didn't have Twitter or Instagram when he got drafted in the sixth round, but, you know, he used that as motivation. You know, what's wrong with this kid doing? And I mean, I'm willing to bet Brady would have said pretty close to the exact same thing. You know, and I mean, I want a kid who wants to go out and show everybody that we were wrong, don't you?
Yeah. So I guess,
you know,
year,
I mean,
he threw 3,352 yards and 29 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions with rushed for 846 yards and 12 touchdowns.
So, yeah, and, you know, I'm sure somebody will bring him into camp and, you know, take a look at him. You know, maybe somewhere down the road he, you know, he gets his shot to, you know, to play. I mean, you know, sadly, I mean, there were a lot of good football players who weren't drafted. You know, he's not the only one. I'm guessing they decided to focus on this because, you know, he spoke out on social media and, you know, they were excited to have something else to talk about, but so. So what I did see here, I found the tweet and this is interesting, you know, like he posted, he would never forget this. And it looks like some of the Virginia Tech fans really went after him here. There's one that says, never forget what, how you left too early and grossly overestimated your draft stock. So, it doesn't look, you know, apparently they weren't too happy with him leaving. So maybe we should be focusing a little more on the fans than we should be, you know, what this guy had to say. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like I said, I'm sure he'll get a look and, you know, if it doesn't work out and he can go to the CFL and develop his talent, you know, I mean, he wouldn't be the first quarterback to do that. So, you know, it worked pretty well for Warren Moon. So, you know, how those things kind of go, but yeah, it's, I still, sometimes I forget that, you know, the guy sitting behind the keyboard there can be essentially dangerous because there's just no, you know, no repercussion to you there. You can kind of say whatever you want. And that's, you know, I'm sure that, you know, these are probably the guys screaming the loudest for him while he was playing. So. But yeah, it doesn't take much. Just a little bit of what they think is wrongdoing, and you're upset. So. But all right. Well, let me get these out here, Dan, before it gets too late and people don't have time to get their FanDuel lineup in. I actually did get 2 lineups from Mr. Fantasy, but the only thing different is the pitching. So what he's got, his first lineup has Julio Teheran in it. He's pitching for the Braves tonight against the Mets. And his second lineup has Luis Severino in it. He's pitching for the Yankees against the Blue Jays tonight. So the rest of the lineup, and these are both the same in each lineup. Every guy is confirmed playing tonight. And, of course, this is for the 605 main that's going to be starting here in a little bit. We got Tyler Flowers at catcher, Joey Votto at first, Josh Harrison at second, Jed Yorko at third. He's been on a Jed Yorko kick lately. Zach Cozart at short. And then his outfield is Matt Kemp, Ender Encarnacion, and Randall Grichuk. That's another guy he's been riding lately, Grichuk. So, yeah, very Brave heavy. You know, 3 batters and a pitcher in one, and then the 3 batters in the other. So, yeah, he's kind of leaning. Looks like he's leaning on Braves, Reds, and Cardinals tonight because the only one he doesn't have there is Harrison. Again, the one lineup features Julio Teheran. The other lineup features Luis Severino at pitcher. Then it's Tyler Flowers, Joey Votto, Josh Harrison, Jed Jorko, Zach Cozart, Matt Kemp, Ender Encarnacion, and Randall Grichuk. So good luck. Hopefully you get your lineup in time. I hope that helps. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Or how it goes for you.
And to help you out, it's Ender Encarnacion.
Yeah, why don't I? Yeah, you know, I knew that too. I don't know why I keep pronouncing it the other way. I'm just, sometimes I'm Mr. Fantasy like when it comes to those things. I don't know what gets into me. So, I lose track of what I'm doing.
Kind of bouncing back to the NBA just for a second. You know, I kind of threw out there that it was, I'm going to roll the dice, and you kind of agreed with me. But were you all that surprised that the Clippers didn't get
past Utah? You know, I don't think you can be surprised with anything the Clippers do. You know, I know they – I heard the talk today, and everybody's blaming it on the fact that, you know, Blake Griffin was hurt, you know, and I – you know, but the Jazz lost their probably second-best player, you know, Rudy Gobert for 3 or 4 games, and it didn't affect them. You know, they stayed competitive, and, you know, they got Gobert back and ended up winning the series. And, you know, I guess the bigger question, Dan, is what, you know, what do they do with this team? I think Blake Griffin's a free agent, and so is Chris Paul. So, you know, what are they going to look like coming back next year?
I don't think they're going to sign all three. And Chris Paul, won't he be going to Cleveland? Isn't there going to be room?
Yeah, well, you know, the weird part is that's one of the rumors is him going to chase a ring. But oddly, the first name that came up was San Antonio. So it would be quite interesting to see if that kind of veered that route for Chris Paul and he ended up in a Spurs uniform. But, yeah, he is. Isn't he was part of that LeBron group that went on vacation together last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, maybe he's a, you know, maybe he's a, you know, maybe he's a target there. You know, the question, of course, anytime the guys are going to go someplace like that is would he be willing to take the smaller contract because that's what he would have to do. You know, I guess the Clippers can offer him a max deal of like $200 million. Now, I would like to think Chris Paul has made enough money in his NBA career where he doesn't need it, but, you know, we never know these things. But, yeah, you know, I mean, for like you and I, Dan, if somebody's waving a $200 million contract in front of us, we're signing it. He, of course, is in a lot better situation than we are. So, well, I am. You have your wife who makes that kind of money. Me being single, I don't have that, so... You know, but we, you know, we do have a couple games rolling, Dan, before we jump back to the Clippers. We get the open tonight of Toronto and Cleveland. Of course, game one in Cleveland, and then we get the Rockets at the Spurs. So we got a couple game ones going there tonight. We'll get into them in a minute. I mean, are we looking, you know, I mean, and, you know, and then you kind of boil it down, you know, for the Clippers, Doc Rivers is the head coach and the GM. Do you think they've got to take one of those responsibilities away from him? Because it just doesn't seem to be working out.
Which one? I mean, do you take the coach away from him?
You know, honestly, I think at this point, you know, at this point, doesn't a guy of Doc Rivers' ilk, I guess you would call him, wouldn't you go to him and kind of ask him? You know, just kind of, hey, we think it would be better for the team if you only did one of these jobs. You know, is there one you prefer to do? Because, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, he's made some questionable trades. He's given away a few first-round picks for really no return. You know, I know one of them, they got Jeff Green in. That didn't help, and Green didn't stay. I think he signed someplace else in the offseason. And then he had to throw in a number one pick down the road to get rid of Jared Dudley at one point in time. I think Doc's greatest contribution as a GM to the Clippers is signing his kid Austin to a 3-year, $35 million deal. So, you know, at least the son got paid, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, do you think maybe they would do something like that?
Either that or move on completely.
Yeah, I guess I never really kind of thought of that possibility. Do you think there's the chance that they would just say, see you later?
I mean, how many years has it been? How's that happened?
Yeah, it seems like he's been there quite a while now, but I'm not, because I know he was in, I believe it was Boston before he came over, and let me see if I can find it real quick, how long he's been there. Actually, he's only been there since 2013. Boy, it seems like a lot longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, maybe it's because he didn't get the break there, because he started in Boston in 2004, and he coached there all the way to 2013, and then he immediately went to Boston to the Clippers. So I guess maybe not having the break makes it seem like, he just kind of worked out. But, they've been a 50-win team every year he's been there. The last 2 years they've lost in the first round. Before that, they only got to the conference semifinals, so they've never even played for the opportunity to go to the NBA championship. I get it. They're in the West, and there's a lot of competition there. I mean, you're always going to have Golden State. You're always going to have San Antonio right now. And Houston is up, obviously up and coming. They greatly improved this year. You just lost to Utah. You never know about an Oklahoma City. If they can find some compliments to Westbrook, all of a sudden they're good. So, yeah, I don't know. It seems like the Clippers are almost in a Bulls-like position of where we're never going to see them in the finals, but they're always going to be a playoff team. So how do they improve?
LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, do you think they could convince him? I mean, you and I have actually talked. He's got a home in Los Angeles. He owns a production company. I believe his kids go to school out there. They don't attend school in Cleveland or Ohio. You think they could swing that? Or would it be more of a thing where maybe he would go to the Lakers if they were close and, because there's a little more history with that franchise?
I mean, the history with the franchise would be something, but, there really isn't. I think he wouldn't see the history of the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he pretty much is,
I think he would want to, I don't know, I think, let's just say next year, if it was possible, it would be a lot easier to build a championship team with the Clippers, with him and the Clippers, than it would with he and the Lakers. I don't think he could do it with the Lakers.
No, I know there are some, bigger free agents who have expressed some interest in signing with the Lakers this offseason. I know Paul George is one of them who seriously wants to go there. That was another place Chris Paul was mentioned, if he would possibly consider just going across town if they made a couple signings. He wouldn't even have to leave the arena. They play in the same arena. So, it could be an interesting offseason for the Lakers. They've got a pretty solid young core of players. They're going to add another one here because they're going to get a top draft pick. And you just wonder if they could bring in a couple veterans if, maybe they get into the playoffs this year as a 7 or an 8, or I should say next year, 2018, 2017, 2018, you know, and then they're kind of sitting out there going, well, man, if we can add one guy and it's LeBron James, you know, maybe I don't know. It's just, you know, so many things while the Clippers are kind of treading water, you know, I mean, because obviously if they bring Blake back, it's going to be tough to bring Paul back because DeAndre Jordan has a big contract. But I think if you got to choose between one or the other, aren't you bringing Chris Paul back over Blake Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
So, it'll be an interesting offseason for, you know, a team like that. I mean, like, I know we'll be interested in the Bulls, but to tell you the truth, the Clippers were and have been much closer to being a championship team than the Bulls have. So, I don't know. It could be interesting. But now, you know, I mentioned a couple of games that actually the one game should be started right now. Well, of course, it's TNT, so they always start a little late. Do you give the Raptors any hope of beating Cavaliers? Now, you know, Dan, LeBron did get 8 days of rest between games. So I'm assuming that this is a lock for the Cavaliers to win tonight, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Wow, 8 days.
I mean, he should go for 80, right? That's 10 points for every day he had off.
Toronto, you never know. I think they'll be competitive, but I think the Cavaliers will take the series.
Do you see them? I mean, you give them one game, you give them two games, or, you know, I mean, or do you actually see this being a seven-game series? They could, you know, think they could do that.
No, I give them at least two games. I think that's just being very nice.
So, yeah, and then, you know, I got to tell you, Dan, I was really disappointed that the Wizards just went out and laid an egg yesterday against the Celtics. You know, I've been kind of supporting them. I really think they have the talent to at least put up a fight against the Cavaliers in a final. You know, I like the fact that they have Wall and Beal, and I think that makes a big difference coming into a finals matchup. And, man, did they stink yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's both sides of the arena, right? Ice and the court.
Yeah, it was just sad. You know, I'm trying to remember, I turned it on at one point because I wanted to get a score update, and I think they were down like 15. And I believe it ended up much closer than that, but maybe not. I got to see if I can find the score here. But yeah, I just wasn't, you know, I wish I could use the excuse that, well, you know, they had just played 2 days ago, but so did the Celtics. So, well, they did cut it. They only lost by 12, 111 to 123. But, yeah, I don't know. They didn't give me a lot of hope. Give me some hope, Dan, that they can bounce back and beat the Celtics.
I give you some hope, but Maymay or Nay-Nay is not on their team anymore. I didn't know that.
No, I believe he's in Houston.
Yeah.
So... but they got, you know, game two tomorrow in Boston. Utah Golden State also opens up tomorrow night if you're interested in that series. I heard somebody say today that Utah wouldn't win a game, so that was kind of interesting. But, you know, I'm going to root for that Washington win, see if they can split in Boston, and hopefully it works out. So otherwise I would be very sad because I really thought they were a thing. But all right, Dan, well, I got to ask you, switching sports on you here. We got game three tonight, Washington at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won both games in Washington, Dan. They're up 2-0 on the Capitals. Washington decided not to make goalie switch. They're going to stay with Braden Holtby after he got shelled in game two. Is this a must win for your guy Ovi and the Capitals tonight?
Oh, yeah. Huge must win.
So, you know, I mean, my Ducks got a win last night, Dan. You know, they were down 2-0. My Ducks got a big win 6-3 over the Oilers. So that's a 2-1 series. The Predators got another win last night. So they're up 2-1 on the Blues. You know, Ottawa and New York doesn't play till tomorrow, but the Senators are up 2-0 in that series. A little surprised by that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I watched a lot of game two, and God, all I could think about was how much Holtby looked like Corey Crawford, and I was worried for your Capitals, Dan. What about you? Did you get to see any of it?
No, I didn't get to see any of it.
So, yeah, I mean, the poor guy literally just looked shell-shocked. You know, I mean, he was missing pucks that I think you would have caught if you were dressed up in the gear. I mean, there were a couple goals that went just, like, right under his glove or right outside his glove. And, you know, I mean, obviously he's a top-notch goalie. He's one of the better goalies in the league. But, you know, I know Pittsburgh is good, but should they have made the change?
They should have made the change.
You know, and since he's going to start, I mean, if you were their coach, Dan, how quick of a hook do you have? Say they go down 2-0. Are you looking to swap goalies right away, or are you going to stick with them?
I would be swapping goalies, but what do I know?
So, because, yeah, it's, you know, it's been a rough start. I mean, it's only two games. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think you panic unless somehow they lose tonight. But, yeah, I mean, giving up what they give up, they gave up six goals in game two. That's just not the way you want to see it go down. So hopefully they'll – you know, they can get rolling tonight, or they can, you know, get something going. But I don't know. I don't think Ovechkin has scored in the series tonight. So maybe if he gets a goal, they win.
Yeah, he needs some goals.
You know. Yeah, I mean they need something. I mean they need something just to kind of get it going. You know, and it just, you know, I mean, obviously they were the best team in the regular season, but the Penguins were right behind them. You know, so it's not a huge difference between teams. And I just can't see them coming back from 3-0 on a team like Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, maybe if they go down 3-0, they could find a way to win a couple in a row, but I just can't see them winning four straight against a team like that. Can you?
No, Pittsburgh's just a phenomenal team.
So, yeah, I was kind of shocked. And that is a 6:30 start, Dan, on the NBC Sports Network. So as soon as we're done here on Sports Time Radio, you'll be able to turn it on, and hopefully you guys will be firing on all cylinders for you, and you get a win. Maybe if you wear the jersey or the sweater, because it is a sweater in the NHL. Maybe if you wear the Ovi sweater, they'll do something for you.
Yeah, it's really a jersey. It's interchangeable these days.
Oh, is it now? Okay, I was just kind of used to everybody, you know. I remember I got in trouble once for saying jersey because it was supposed to be sweater. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are nowhere near sweater material. So it's
no, not anymore.
Jersey material.
So, yeah, that was just kind of... You know, and now, you know, I did hear, you know, you talked about the media a little bit, and I, you know, I had the media thing that irritated me as well. You know, in yesterday's game for the Predators and the Blues, PK Subban was warming up, and he was kind of goofing off, I guess would be the best way to put it. And Mike Milbury's one of the NBC analysts. And if you know anything about Mike Milbury, he's an old-school hockey guy. He played for the Bruins back in the day. You can already tell right there's going to be a clash of what this guy is doing on the ice and what this guy perceives. Well, he went on to say that the Predators coach, who I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, should wrap Subban in the head and straighten him out. And then he went on to call Subban a clown. And he was clowning around, so to be fair, it wasn't that big a deal. But immediately, Dan, since Subban is African-American, the media turned it into a black-white thing. Now, Milbury didn't say anything racist. He didn't say anything he wouldn't have said if a white guy was doing it. Why do they immediately go to this?
Because that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. You know, is that where they thought the story was? It had to be a black-white thing. It couldn't just be an old-school hockey guy upset with a new-school guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because he's an old-school hockey guy.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, that's just how he is. It's very much like baseball, you know, how the old-school guys don't approve. You know, it's just how they played the game. But yet, right away, they jumped on the race bandwagon. And it was like, no, this had nothing to do with it. It was almost like Phil Jackson's use of the word posse when LeBron freaked out and started crying and tried to make it a racial incident. It had nothing to do with race as much as it had to do with age, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just quite frustrating. That was my goofy freaking media thing for the day, was they immediately attempted to turn it into a race baiting incident. And he only said it because he's black. No, he didn't say it because he's black. He said it because he's old, and the player would have never done that when Milbury played in the NHL. It just would have never went down like that. One of his own teammates would have punched him in the face. So it's just like, God, please shut up.
You'd be surprised. I was surprised this weekend. Uncle Bob, of course, had told me this is the first draft he's ever watched. He has no clue what the hell is going on with his team. But then he brought up the infamous Chris Coughlin dive over Gaudier. And, and he asked me, kind of the same question, a dumb media question. He goes, all right. So I watched this play. I've watched it, on all these other channels. And, these are the guys on TV. These are the guys that cover the sport. And he goes, and one of the idiots has the nerve to say, hey, this foot touched his shoulder. Isn't he out? He goes, this is what these guys do for a living. Don't they know better?
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, Dan, when I listen to these guys, if they how they get their jobs and why you and I can't have one, because obviously we're a lot smarter than they are. I guess maybe it's just they want to be controversial, but, in an incident like that, that's just being stupid. You don't know the rule that just because their body touched, he's not out. You have to be tagged with the baseball. It's only been a rule since they started. In 18-whatever. Morons. But I did want to ask you, Dan, I'm glad you kind of transitioned to baseball with Uncle Bob there. We got the Orioles-Red Sox series starting again tonight. Now, last time we had the slot with Manny Machado into Dustin Pedroia. Then we got the ball thrown behind Machado that hit his bat. Does it go away, or do maybe the Orioles take a little offense at the headhunting and they go after a guy?
No, I think it goes away.
So, yeah, that'll be one of the I believe that's the Mickey Mouse Network Monday night game. Let me pull the schedule up here, Dan, and I can tell you. Yes, it is. It's Dylan Bundy against Rick Porcello. And that game should, if it's not underway already, it should just be getting underway. So the rest of the schedule here, Dan, real quick. The Blue Jays are at the Yankees. The Indians are at the Tigers. The Pirates are at the Reds. The Rays are at the Marlins. Your guy, Wei Ying Chin, is starting for the Marlins tonight, Dan. The Mets are at the Braves. The Phillies are here in Chicago to take on the Cubs. The Rangers are at the Astros. The White Sox are at the Royals. The Brewers are at the Cardinals. And it's the Giants at the Dodgers as the nightcap, Dan. Johnny Cueto against Clayton Kershaw. It's really too bad. Ooh. You're too old to stay up to watch that one.
Yeah, I know. Do you think by chance that Cubs game is going to actually get played?
Yeah, you know, I saw the weather report, and they were saying we're not supposed to get any heavy rain, just some drizzle. So maybe it gets delayed a little bit, but I think they should get it in. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see. I have to double check because I know I have Cueto in one of our leagues, and I think I have Kershaw in the other. And I want to see if I got the bad draw of them pitching against each other. So.
Yeah, I got the bad draw of getting my butt kicked this week, bud.
Did you? I got a small win in the Snake League. I got a 15-10 win. So that wasn't, I'll take it. Obviously, five games I'll take. And oddly, I had the same win in the Auction League. So.
Well, actually, I got a 14-13 win in the Snake. In the Auction, I got my butt handed to me by the Jaybirds. He's like my arch nemesis.
So, yeah, that, you know, I always take whatever win I can get, no matter if it's by a game or not. I'm always pretty happy about that. So I'm still trying to make up, you know, that week one beating I got in the Auction League. I'm still digging myself out of the hole from that one. So I need to get some wins like this.
Yeah, I just can't figure it out what exactly, because I've had a series of pitchers losing, but, you know, I ended up dumping Edison Volquez in both leagues. That was a good trade, which it seems that Robinson Cano had a pretty solid week for you last week. Or not Robinson, Nelson Cruz.
Except you traded me Nelson Cruz, but yeah, he did. So.
So that one bit me a little bit. But I just, at this point, it's too hard to say where to go. And then, you know, all the Cubs that I have have just been kind of stinking. You know, nobody's over 200.
Yeah.
You know, the heart of the team can't bat over 200 yet. It's all Javi's fault, and he needs to go to the minor league.
So, yeah, you know, I heard that talk. Somebody suggested that to send him down. So, you know, I don't know how much that would actually help him or anything, but, you know, that was somebody's suggestion. But, you know, we didn't bring it up, so I'm wondering if you managed to get it done. Do you have your fantasy players of the week?
Yeah, but now that I'm in the car, I can't actually pull that up. So I'm just reading it. Yeah, you're supposed to bring it up when I'm on the bus.
Well, you know, the weird part was I meant to bring it up while we were doing the FanDuel stuff, and I forgot. So.
I think it was Ryan Zimmerman. If you have the Google Sheets open, you know, I think I put the guys in there.
Yeah, I can. If you put it in the Google Sheet, I can pull it up here. So let me hunt it down here and see if it All right, Fantasy Player of the Week. Dun-dun, dun-dun.
Yeah, the pitcher, I think, was a little harder. I think it was – this one was more of a tie. I know we don't really tie in any sports anymore, but, I mean, if you had to, I'd go with the first one. But, I mean, both pitchers threw up awesome numbers last week. I think they both won their games. I believe it was Ivan Nova, maybe.
Yeah, I have Ryan Zimmerman and Ivan Nova, and then Nelson Cruz and Yu Darvish.
No, do batter, pitcher. You're confusing me.
I got Ryan Zimmerman and Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, Zimmerman was, you know, it was tough, but I think he etched it out. Where Cruz definitely was your runner-up. And then
it's,
I don't know.
Yeah, Ivan Nova and Yu Darvish.
Yeah, it was rough with those two. I believe Nova threw a complete game last week. They both had two wins. They both struck out 15-plus batters. So, I mean, FanDuel-wise, if you were able to – if you had either one of those two pitchers in and you didn't win, it was because your offense totally sucked.
So, yeah, I think Nova had a complete game with less than 100 pitches.
Yeah. And so. I think he etched out, you with two. I think he only gave up one or two earned runs, where you may have given up two or three. No, but, I mean, both these pitchers were very comparable. And then, of course, after I put that together, then I see the thing where the Nationals just whomped the Mets. And now I can't even – Anthony Rendon – was it? Hit three home runs, had like 11 RBIs or something fantastical that I've never, that's now in Major League Baseball record.
Did it all in like one.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, does that count? So, but, like I said, in FanDuel, if you had those pitchers, you were winning. Those were the two hitters of the week, like I said. After reading that, I was a little mad that I traded you Nelson Cruz right away. Especially since I went by the ranks, and I didn't go by the preseason ranks. I went by the ranks that was going on at the time, and plus I had so many outfielders. And I think Cruz is position specific, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to kind of unload on that. I think I had too many right fielders to begin with.
To be fair, I just accepted that trade. I didn't propose it. I didn't have anything to do with it. I know Mr. Fantasy always, accuses me of stuff, but yeah, you sent it to me and I accepted it. That's how that went. So.
Well, I kind of figured you'd accept that it was a Mariner and it was Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to free up space. But, the important part for me is I have
needed to pitch.
Well, yeah, I did. Well, that was the other thing. It was, the guys I had, I still have, not that I'm overvaluing, but I'm overvaluing them in the sense that they're guys you just don't drop off your team that you have to trade. And
yes.
I haven't found a suitable partner yet. And plus, like I said, between Schwarber, Bryant, Ben Zobrist, none of these guys have gotten hot enough to move, which I think if I can get Ben Zobrist hot enough, I've got to find the Cub fan in the group. But, he would be
able to. Yeah, there's a few of them. You'll be able to find one. There's plenty of them out there in our league. So.
You should see who has Javi Baez, right?
Yeah, it won't take it won't take long for you to find a Cub fan there, so you'll be able to make that move.
The thing that just kills me, and I don't know if this is happening to you, with a lot of categories that I lose in, and it's not like, not by much, and that's kind of what sucks too. I think in the one I lost innings by like 0.2, that gets a little like a kick in the butt. And when it's Sunday, there's nothing you could do about it.
No, yeah. So you're just kind of, it's been. Yeah, I've had some, with the exception of the first week when the elk guy just beat me down in the auction league, like I had no business playing fantasy baseball. Yeah, I've been, even in the categories I've lost, I've been really close, and I it's just kind of like, okay, well, I'm right there. This team's just got to get going a little bit, and I'll be okay. So.
Yeah. You gotta wonder if one day, with the football coming up, if you think one of the leagues, the guys would be interested in not playing for money, but paying a couple of dollars so we could host the trophy.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it once or twice, but we're just, I don't think anybody's been interested in it yet. So we'll have to see. Maybe, you know.
I'll put that out there when the leagues are open. But I don't know. Again, with the update on the Yahoo app, looking at the trophies, I thought it was pretty cool because of first, there's the one trophy where you come back on every year, which I think would as cool as that would be. I don't know that would work. Sending it off each year, it would be different if it's 20 years. And just think that would work. The other one is just like the trophy. I'd love to do the hardest trophy. Again, that wouldn't work because the last five guys, like I already know what's going on next year,
Yeah, I guess my question would be, do we have to buy one every year, or do we just buy that one and okay? We can send it around, or how does it work?
Well, that's the option. That's why I said I wasn't sure how it would work, because there's the one that you would buy every year, but then they have one where you'd buy it once, and then it has a spot for five plaques, and you just replace it. But, with the groups that we have and the added people, you've got to wonder if, the first guy who wins, let's just say it's Elk. He always seems to win. Would he be willing to push it off, to send it off next year and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I guess that's, always a question. I don't know why they wouldn't, but, you never know.
Yeah.
So. There are the weird things that happen, so. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you can ask and see what, some guys think. Who knows? Maybe we can get enough guys together to do it.
What's 20 times 5?
30. Oh, so 100. Yeah, 20 times 5.
Yeah, so I mean, the cost of the trophy and the shipping.
It's definitely something worth asking. At least they can say it's no. All right, well, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. And you know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. We greatly appreciate that. The Twitter feed, of course, is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so look us up if you need to. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.